Today's daf is Megillah Daf Chof Dalid, and we are at the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Gimel Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadia Ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba Ben Devorah, Devorah Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Hena Perel Bas Yecheved, Rafal Gahas Ben Fega, Sarah Nechama Bas Rus Malka, Baruch ben Rachel and Meira Chava bas Shoshana. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas Doiv Beryl ben Rabbi Yaakov David and Ilui Nishmas Sarah bas Yehuda Asher. So we're continuing with the sugya of Kriyas HaTorah that's tucked away in Masechtas Megillah in the third perek of Masechtas Megillah. Why are we learning the laws of Kriyas HaTorah and Masechtas Megillah? Because Masechtas Megillah deals very much with the laws of Megillas Esther. It's the name of the Masechta. Megillas Esther has a Kriyas HaTorah component to it. And as a result, as the Gemara has been discussing different halachos related to Kriyas Megillas Esther, Me'inyan Le'inyan, very much Ba'oisa Inyan, it's been discussing halachas in Kriyas HaTorah as well. And one of the things that we've seen is that the Kriyas HaTorah that we have today is not identical to the Kriyas HaTorah the way that it once was. In fact, it's evolved somewhat. It's evolved in some significant ways. The most significant, by far, is that once upon a time, when a person got an aliyah, he didn't just make a bracha, but rather he would get up and he would actually read his portion in the Torah. So if you got shlishi, you had to be prepared to lein shlishi. If you got revi, you had to be prepared to lein revi. Today, the person that gets the aliyah makes the bracha, but there's a balkaire whose job it is to lein the entire kriya. Wasn't always like that. Once upon a time, getting an aliyah meant that you were physically going to read from the Sefer Torah. Another very significant difference between the way Kriyas HaTorah was and the way Kriyas HaTorah is that once upon a time, in addition to the Balkoire, there was also the Meturgeman. So the Balkoire would read from the Sefer Torah, and as he would read, there was someone whose job it was to translate it into the common language. Now, the common language in the day was Aramaic, and as a result, the Meturgeman of the Gemara would speak Aramaic, and he would literally translate verse by verse the Kriyas HaTorah into Aramaic. And the reason he did it was very, very simple. Poshits of people should know what he's saying. So being that not everyone spoke Lashon Kodesh, so it was necessary to translate the Kriyas HaTorah into a language that the Olam did speak, and it's for that reason that it was born the concept of the Meturgeman. The Rambam, in Perek Yud Beis and Hilchas Tefillah, where he talks about the laws of Kriyas HaTorah, when he introduces the Meturgeman, he says that this was one of the institutions of Ezra HaSofer. So Ezra HaSofer, who was the leader of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, we mentioned that the Rambam in a few different places describes the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah as Beis Dinoi Shal Ezra HaSofer. So Ezra HaSofer, who was so instrumental in shaping the way Judaism is set up today, one of his primary contributions was in the realm of tefillah. The Gemara says brachos and tefillos, kedushos, havdolos, shmeina esrei. We just learned the Gemara not long ago was instituted by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah by Ezra Beis Dinoi. Kriyas HaTorah, the Rambam says in the beginning of Perek Yud Beis Hilchas Tefillah, is very much associated with Ezra HaSofer. So this was one of the things that Ezra was misakin. So really, the Ikur Takon of Kriyas HaTorah traced itself back to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ezra HaSofer made some changes. One of the changes that Ezra HaSofer made was that there should be a Meturgeman, someone that's going to be able to translate the Torah into Aramaic. And the truth is that it makes a lot of sense that Ezra would have done that, because we mentioned that the Rambam, when he explains why the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah instituted Shmeina Esrei, he attributes it to the fact that before Churban Bayis Rishon, Yidden were fluent in Lashon Kodesh. And then the Churban happened, and the Jews became dispersed literally all over the world. And as a result, they no longer were as fluent in Lashon Kodesh. And it was difficult for them to daven in Lashon HaKodesh. And that's why the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah felt compelled to come up with one uniform tefillah that everybody will learn. They'll know how to read it, probably by heart. And as a result, everybody will have the ability to daven. So it seems that with Churban Bayis Rishon, somehow the Jews lost the skill to properly communicate and speak in Lashon Kodesh. So now in this new world where Yidden don't speak the holy tongue anymore, they're not going to understand Kriyas HaTorah either. So Ezra, in that same time, instituted the concept of the Meturgamen. Either way, today's daf is going to begin discussing the laws of Kriyas HaTorah, and it's going to begin discussing the laws of the Meturgamen. Zok the Heilige Mishnah. HaKaira B'Torah, if somebody reads from the Sefer Torah, lo yifchais mishloish psukim. So each individual aliyah can be no less than 3 psukim. It could certainly be more, but a person can't be oyla l'tayra less than 3 psukim. Additionally, v'lo yikra l'meturgamen yoysem yipasek echad. In the event that there's a meturgamen, so the way the Balkaira and the meturgamen work together is that the Balkaira would read one pasuk, and then the meturgamen would translate that pasuk, and then the Balkaira would read another pasuk, and the meturgamen would translate that next pasuk. So the way the meturgamen translated the Kriyas HaTorah was literally verse by verse. It was one pasuk at a time. Ubenavi, in the event that there's a meturgamen for the Haftorah, for the Navi, Shloisha. So then, if you want, you can read up to 3 psukim. So there's a kpeda that the meturgamen can translate more than one pasuk at a time, but that's only for the Kriyas HaTorah. That's only for the Chamishei Chomshei Torah. As it relates to the Haftorah, there you have the option. If you want, you can translate up to 3 psukim. You don't have to, but if you wanted to, you could do it up to 3 psukim. Hayu shloshtem shalosh parashis. Let's say you have 3 psukim in Tanakh, and all 3 psukim are 3 different parashias. Now, the definition of a parasha in our Mishnah is not Bereishis, Noyach, Lech Lecha, but that definition of a parasha is a pasuk that's surrounded by peis and samachs. So in the event that you have 3 psukim, and the 3 psukim are 3 parashias, so then the meturgamen would have to translate each pasuk individually. So ordinarily, it's up to 3 psukim. But that's only if it's 3 psukim from one parsha. If the 3 psukim are 3 parshas, each parsha needs to be translated individually. The Mishnah continues, medalgim b'navi, ve'ein medalgim b'teira. You're allowed to skip around when it comes to reading the Haftorah, but you can't skip around in the Sefer Torah. So when it comes to reading from the Torah, you have to go in order. V'atkamahu medali, how much are you allowed to skip in Navi? Again, you can't skip in Torah. You could skip in Navi. How much are you allowed to skip? Ad k'dei shelo yifsek haftorgamen. So you can't skip so long that the Olam is going to be sitting around. But as long as the meturgamen is still talking and doing his thing, you have the ability to mish and quickly jump ahead. That's something that you would be allowed to do. Zok de Gemara. So the Mishnah said a lot of things, and we're going to go through them individually. The first halacha in the Mishnah was that if someone comes up for an aliyah, you have to read at least 3 psukim. Says the Gemara, "Hanigim psukim kenegani." What's the makar to these 3 psukim? Amar Ravasi. Ravasi said, "Kenegat Torah neviyim uksuvim." We're reading from the Torah Shebik Sav. Torah Shebik Sav is made up of 3 components: Torah, neviyim uksuvim. So kenegat the 3 components of the Torah Shebik Sav, we have a halacha that any person that's oyla l'Torah, you have to read at the minimum 3 psukim. Now, if this sounds familiar, it's because we had a very similar Gemara in the beginning of the parak on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Over there, the Gemara was discussing why is it that the minimum Kriyas HaTorah requires 3 people to be oyla l'Torah. And the Gemara gave 2 reasons. One reason was Ravasi, Keneged Torah Neviim Uksuvim. The second reason was Rava. It's Keneged Kohanim Leviim VYisraelim. This Gemara is not the same Gemara. It's Meinyan LeInyan BaOseinyan. We're not discussing why 3 people are Oyla LeTorah, but rather we're discussing why each individual Aliyah has to be made up of 3 Psukim. And over here, Rav Asi LeShitasa. It's the same Rav Asi. Rav Asi was saying on Chafal of Amadeis that 3 people have to be Oyla LeTorah Keneged Torah Neviim Uksuvim. On Chafdal Raman Aleph says each Aliyah has to be made up of 3 Psukim. Over here, the Gemara doesn't bring Rava's pshat, which was the second pshat in the Gemara earlier on Daf Chaf Aleph on the base. Either way, says the Gemara, 3 psukim, and the reason it's 3 psukim is keneged Torah Neviim Uksuvim. The Mishnah says, "Yikra l'meturgam yoysem yipasek echad ubenavi shloish psukim." But if there's a meturgamen, so the way it works is Valkyrie reads one pasuk and the meturgamen translates that one pasuk. It's one pasuk at a time. If it's navi, you can translate up to 3 psukim at a time. V'mayu shloshem shalish parashiyos. And in the event you have 3 psukim and the 3 psukim are really 3 parashiyos, kaira echad echad, then you have to translate it, the meturgamen does, one pasuk at a time. So the Gemara says, what's an example of 3 psukim, and it sounds like in succession, that are 3 separate parashiyos? That would seem to be an aberration.
Usually a parsha is made up of a series of psukim. Here you have three psukim that are three parashas. So the Gemara says, Kegoin, here's the Makar. It's Yeshaya, it's Perik Nun Beis, it's psukim Gimel, Dalet, and Hey. The first pasuk is, Ki Choy Amar Hashem, Chinam Nimkartem, Veloy Bekeseb Tigo Elu. The second pasuk is, Ki Choy Amar Hashem Alekim, Mitzrayim Yored Ami Barishoyna. And the third pasuk is, Va'ata Mali Poin Hashem, Ki Lukach Ami Chinam. Either way, these are three psukim. The three psukim are three parashas. By the way, this is the haftorah to parashas Shoiftim. So there is a haftorah where you have three psukim. The three psukim are three parashas, and that's where it's negated. That even though ordinarily the meturgim could be metargim up to three psukim together in Navi, but if it's three separate parashas, there he wouldn't be able to. The Mishnah concluded, and the Mishnah said, medalgim ben Navi, ve'ein medalgim ben Torah. You're allowed to skip around in Navi. You're not allowed to skip around in the Sefer Torah. And the Mishnah qualified, when are you allowed to skip around in Navi? Vat kamahu medalik ad kadei shelo yifzak hamat. As long as the meturgeman is going to still be doing this thing, meaning, just to play it out, you have the person reading the Haftarah, and then there's the meturgeman. If the meturgeman stops, you can't be mishing the scroll of Navi to try to find the pasuk that you want to read. So as long as you're mishing while the meturgeman is doing his thing, so nobody's sitting around waiting, then it's going to be okay. But to the extent that you're going to force people to wait around, that's not fine. And what's the reason for this? Rashi says, Mishum she'ein kovet tzibur lamid sham b'shteika. Because it's not kovet for the tzibur, and this is the first of several times that we're going to see this concept of kovet tzibur in today's daf. It's not proper kovet, respect for the tzibur, for them to have to sit and wait around. So there's something that Chazal were very sensitive to, and that is the dignity, the respect of the tzibur. So it's time to make them wait is not fair. So if they're not waiting because the meturgim is anyways talking to mish and skip, it's not going to be a problem. But to the extent that the tzibur is going to have to wait around, then it's not going to be okay. But either way, what's the halach of the Mishnah? Medalgim ben Navi, ein medalgim b'tayra, and even by Navi, you can only be medalig as long as the tzibur is not going to have to wait around. I'll ask you a kasha, and the kasha is from a Mishnah in Mesechtes Yuma. The Mishnah is discussing the end of the day on Yom Kippur. So this is already after the Kohen Gadol did almost all of the Avodah, and we're at the point where the Kohen Gadol now is going to read from a Sefer Torah. So it's from the more obscure aspect of the Avodah on Yom Kippur. And the Mishnah says as follows, Koyrei Achrimos. So the Kohen Gadol would read from the Sefer Torah, and he would read from Parshas Achrimos. Parshas Achrimos, that's where the Avodah on Yom Kippur is mentioned in the Torah. It's Sefer Vayikra, it's Perek Tazayin. That would be the natural place for there to be a Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur. And then he would skip to Va'ach Ba'asar. Va'ach Ba'asar is in Parshas Emor. That's the Parsha of the Mayadim. So he would start in Achrimos, and from there he would go to Frank the Gemara. How could he do that? He's skipping. I thought you're not allowed to skip when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah. I thought only by Navi you're allowed to skip, but by Kriyas HaTorah you're never allowed to skip. No, it's not true. Then when the Mishnah says that you're not allowed to skip by Torah, it's talking about if you're going to wait so long that the Torgaman is going to finish doing his thing, and as a result, the tzibur is going to have to wait. That's when you can't be medalig b'tayra, where your dilug, mishing the Sefer Torah, is going to be longer than the translator who's translating into Aramaic. As a result, the oivim is going to have to wait. But to the extent that it's lo yifzak haturgamin, the turgamin is not going to stop, meaning everything is going to be seamless, then you're allowed to be medalig, even by the Sefer Torah. And that's what the Gemara is saying, that the Mishnah in Masechtes Yuma is talking about skipping from Achrimos until Parshas Emor. So they had the Torgim and schlep it out a little bit. The Mishers were mishing really, really fast. From Achrimos to Emor is not very far. And as a result, they were able to pull it off. But Enachinami, it's only okay because it's Pekdesh al Yifzak on the Torgim. But the Gemara asks a very obvious question of Wahalting Cheshman, and that is, I don't understand. The Mishnah said, Ein Medalgim B'Tayra. And then the Mishnah said, Medalgim B'Navi. Va'alok Yitani, and what did the Mishnah say regarding Medalgim B'Navi? Medalgim B'Navi, Ein Medalgim B'Tayra, Va'atkamahu Medalik, and how much are you allowed to be medalic by Navi? Ad kadesh liyifzak haturgamin. Even by Navi, when you're allowed to be medalic, it's only to the point that the turgamin is not going to stop doing this thing. Mechlal de b'tayra klal kaloi. It certainly sounds like that if you want to be medalic by Sefer Torah, it's more chomer than being medalic by Navi, as Zoy Shtet in Mishnah. And you see, you can't do it even if it's kadesh liyifzak haturgamin. So it's a very obvious question. How could you tell me that the reason the Kohen Gadol was allowed to be medalic because it was kadesh liyifzak haturgamin? The Mishnah says that being medalic by Torah is more chomer than being medalic by Navi, and even being medalic by Navi is only okay because k'day sheli yipsak ha-torgamin. So this is simple arithmetic. So you see, clearly you can't be medalik b'toyra, even if it's b'k'day sheli yipsak ha-torgamin. Elam rabayu. So Abayu said a whole different terrors. Loi kasha, it's not shver. Our Mishnah says he can't be medalik b'toyra. From the Mishnah in Yuma, by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, you see he was medalik b'toyra. How do you reconcile this apparent blatant contradiction? Kan b'inyan echad, shkan b'shtei inyan noise. It depends. Are you skipping me inyan le'inyan? Or are you skipping within one inyan? One inyan is okay. So on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol went from Parshas Achrimos to Parshas Emor. But they're both talking about Yom Kippur. Achrimos is the Avodah, and Parshas Emor talks about the Yontif, the mitzvah, the fast. So it's both Yom Kippur, it's one inyan. That's when it's okay. B'shtei inyanos, that's when we're saying you can never be medalik b'toyra. And here's the chiddush, that b'navi, you're allowed to be medalik, even b'shtei inyanos. And the Gemara says, v'atanya. In fact, it's a braisa that says this. Usually, v'atanya is a kasha, but sometimes v'atanya is benichusa. Sometimes it's a raya. So this v'atanya is a raya. A raya in support of what we just said, medalik b'toyra b'inyan echad, you're allowed to be medalik in the sefer Torah b'inyan echad. U'b'navi, even b'shtei inyanim. Kan v'ktan, whether you're being medalik b'toyra b'inyan echad, or you're being medalik benavi b'shnei inyanim, it's only b'kadesh shel yiftzak ha-torgamin. You have to make sure that you're not going to be medalik so long that the torgamin will have stopped already, because once the torgamin stops, you can't be medalik anymore, because then you have a problem of covered tzibur. Tanya idach, another braisa that talks about these ideas, in medalik benavi l'navi, that even though you're allowed to be medalik by navi, but not me navi l'navi. You can't be medalik from one navi to another navi. You can't go from Yeshua to Shoiftim. Ubenavi shall shneim asim medalik. However, if you want to go from one navi to another navi within the trei asar, within the 12 smaller Nevi'im, that's okay, because on some level that's viewed as one larger book. However, you can't be medalik, Rashi says, l'mafreya. You can't go backwards. So if you want to go from one of the later Nevi'im of Trei Aser to one of the earlier Nevi'im of Trei Aser, that already is not going to be okay. Zok to Mishnevayt. Hamafter Benavi. This next Mishnah is a classic. The person that was Mafter Benavi, so whoever it was that was called up for Mafter, and his primary job was to read the Haftarah. In fact, we saw in yesterday's daf that the only reason the Mafter B'Navi gets an aliyah is Poshit for Kavod HaTorah. Because it would be somewhat disrespectful to call somebody up to the Bima, have him make a bracha on Sefer Yeshaya, but not make a bracha on the Torah itself. So that's why we give him an aliyah, and his aliyah is not even one of the seven aliyahs. That's why it's an extra aliyah. But we saw that already yesterday. But says the Mishnah, Mafter B'Navi, the person that got called off at Haftarah, who Pyrus al-Shama? It was his job, or better, his schus, to be Pyrus al-Shama. So this is something we also saw in yesterday's daf. That once upon a time, there was a minhag that after davening, a person would get up, like a chazan, and he would say Kaddish, he would say Barchu, and he would say the first brachos of Birchas Kriyas Shema, which is why it's called to be Pyrus al-Shama. Pyrus as in half, a pras, a prusa. So part of the Shema was recited. The idea was to be moitzi the people that came late, which clearly was very, very shchiach and prevalent once upon a time. I mean, half of the parak talks about the nechnasim and the yaitzim, but the bottom line is the person that got called up for the haftar, it was his schos to be pyrus al shema. For over lifnei atev, he daven for the yamin. For who knows says kapa, if he's a kayan, he was the one that took him. Let's say he's a katan, meaning let's say the mafter benavi was a katan. Now you're going to tell me, if he's a katan, how could he be mafter benavi? Katan gets an aliyah, so it's a Gemara. We learned the Gemara together yesterday. Daf Chav Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara brought a brisa. It was a one-line brisa. Hakol Oilam Leminyan Shiva Vafilu Katan Vafilu Isha. So a Katan is able to get an aliyah. So if the Mafter is a Katan, so then he can't do all these things. He can't be Pyrus al Shema, he can't be Ovilif Neateva, he can't be Noises Kapov. So what happens? Aviv, his father, a rabbi, or his rabbi, Ovin al Yada, they get the schus. But the point is, whoever gets called up for the mafter, he has a schus to do these things, to be Pyrus al Shema, to be Ovilif Neateva, and to be the one that's going to do him. Katan Kaira B'Taira. Katan's allowed to be called up for the Sefer Taira, like we just mentioned, the Braisa, it's a Mishnah, Umetar game. He could also be the Torgaman. Aval Ein Pyrus al Shema, he can't be Pyrus al Shema, being Ovilif Neateva, he can't down for the Yomav, any Noises Kapov. So he's a kohen, he's not allowed to duchen. Peicheach, someone that's not wearing shoes, he's barefoot. Peiris Eshma, he's allowed to be Peiris Shema. Umetargim, he could even be the Metargim. Avle Enikar B'Tayro, he's not allowed to read from the Sefer Torah. Vein Ovelef Neateva, he can't down for the Yom, Vein Eres Eskabav, he can't duchen. Suma, someone that's a Sagi Nahar. Peiris Eshma, he's allowed to be Pyrus al Shma, Umetargim, he could be Metargim as well. Rabbi Huda says, Kol Shalei Ra Ma'irois Miyamav, Enei Pyrus al Shma. Rabbi Huda says that someone that was born a Suma, so someone that never saw light in his life, he can't be Pyrus al Shma. And the reason is because being Pyrus al Shma is being Moitzi the Oilam with the brachas of Kriyashma. And the brachas of Kriyashma are Yotzer Oiru Vayre Choshech. It's the brach of Yotzer HaMa'oiros. It talks about the Ma'oiros. So someone that has seen Ma'oiros, or better, he's benefited from Ma'oiros, only somebody like that has the ability to be Pyrus al Shema. But someone that's never seen Ma'oiros, or someone that's never benefited from Ma'oiros, he wouldn't be able to. So we mentioned this Mishnah is a classic Mishnah for many reasons. Most notably, this is a classic Mishnah because there's one line that's tucked away in this Mishnah. The Mishnah says, whoever was Mafter Benavi, he had the schus to be Pyrus al Shema, to be Oiver Lefnei Ateva, and to be Noisei Eskapov. And the Netziv, in his Meroi Mesada, and this Gemara says, what do you mean? The person that was Mafter Benavi had the schus to be Noisei Eskapov. Memanov Shach, if he's a Kayan, he's going to be Noisei Eskapov. He has a mitzvah to Duchen. And if he's not a Kayan, he's not going to be Noisei Eskapov. What does being Noisei Eskapov have to do with being the Mafter? You need a schus to be Noisei Eskapov. You have an obligation if you're a Kayan to be Noisei Eskapov. And if you're not a Kayan, there's an Isser, like Rashi says in the second paragraph of Masechtas Ksuvos, to be Noisei Eskapov. So what do you mean the person that was Mafter has the schus now to be Noisei Eskapov? And the Netziv says, that Lulei de Mistafino, I would say that Likten HaMishnah, it's not even a Gemara. It's a Mishnah that you see in this Mishnah, very big Chiddush. And that is, once upon a time, not every person used to Duchen. Meaning, if there was a kehila and there were 10 kayanim in the kehila, there weren't 10 people that used to go up to be duchen. But rather, one person would go up to be duchen, and he would be moitzi all the other kayanim with the medium of shemeya ka'ayna. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. So who has the schus to be the one who's going to be moitzi the olam with birchas kayanim? Says the Mishnah, the one that's mafta benavi, who poyres al shema, who over the fnei ateva, who noisei eskapov. Why is this netziv a big deal? Because we've spoken about this in the past. This is one of the most famous pieces of raid of all time, and that is, do you say Shemea Ka'ayna by Birchas Kayanim? Do you not say Shemea Ka'ayna by Birchas Kayanim? It's Yodua that the Beis Halevi vehemently argued with this, the Chiddush of the Netziv. We have a related raid bite to this, Be'ezus Hashem. But either way, we're going to go weiter for now. So the Mishnah said that whoever was Mafta Benavi, he had a schus to do certain things. Pyrus al Shema, Oivel Lefnei Ateva, and Noisei Eskapov. Says the Gemara, my time. What's the reason for all this? Money, why are we giving the person that got Mafta all these schusim? And the Teretz might come across as being a little bit surprising. Rapapa says, Mishum Kofit. Rav Simi said, Mishum da Asil and Suya, because we're afraid that a fight's going to break out. So two reasons. The first reason is Kovid. The second reason is to prevent Machloikis. So you have to see Rashi inside to believe it. Zok Rashi, Mishum Kovid. Lahavir lefnei ateva. You know why you have to give this person Kovid? Because to go up for Mafter was considered to be a Dovar that was really Einoi Lechfi Chvoid, whoever it was that was going to go up. And as a result, you had to give this person a consolation prize. You had to incentivize him on some level. Nobody wanted to go up to read for the Haftarah. Apparently, this wasn't considered a coffin. And as a result, you had to tell the person, you know what, I understand, we're going to give you Mafter, but here's the deal. You're going to be Paris al Shema, you'll get the Duchen, you're also going to be able to Daven Musaf, right? It's all going to be yours. Ah, now we're talking. So now I'm willing to go ahead and do it because of all the cover that's going to come along with it. But Be'etzem, because Mafter in and of itself was something that was looked down upon, nobody wanted it. So the only way to get people to come up for Mafter is you had to give them an incentive. And that was Chazal's trick. That was their idea. You're Mafter Benavi, I know you don't want to do it, but don't worry, you'll be Paris al Shema, you'll be Ovlef Ne'ateva, and you'll be Noises Kappa, man. We're piling up, we're giving him all the kibbutim, all right. You're giving me all that? Besaid, now I'm willing to do it. That's the first reason. The second reason the Gemara says is Mishum Insuye. What is this? Rashi. Hadover boli de machloikas. Because otherwise, if the person that got mafter only did mafter, a fight would break out. What's the person going to say? Quote, Ani mafter v'ata tava lefnei ateva? What's going on over here? I get mafter? Again, you see, mafter was not something nobody wanted. And you're going to get the daven for the yamin? You get all the covenant, and as we'll see in the Gemara, they used to pay the baltfila. So he's getting paid, and the mafter, he just gets up there, and he's stuck by the bima. He's not interested, apparently. So either it's poshid, it's just not kvoidai, so we want to give him a little bit of covenant, or we're doing it mipnei dark yisholom. I mean, once something goes into the realm of dark yisholom, it takes on a whole nother element. Right, we always talk about that chamira sakante meisura. Dark yisholom is oila al kulana. Shmi shenichta b'ktusha is yimacha when it comes to shalom. But either way, either there's poshid a covenant cheshman, or there's even a dark yisholom cheshman. Or it says, my b'nai was there, nafgimina, yeah, it could be now with other b'chinam. What would be if the balitila don't get paid either? So if it's a covered thing, yes, no one's interested in doing mafter anyways. But if it's more a fight's going to break out, you're getting paid to dam for the omen, and I have to do mafter for free, well, that person's not getting paid anyways. As a result, you don't have to worry about the machlokes. So the Gemara says, let's see if there's a clue from our Mishnah, which one of these two reasons is right. Why is it that we give the mafter all these kibbutim? Tonight we learned in the Mishnah, if the person that was mafter was a katan, so he himself can't do all these things. He can't be paris al shema, he can't be over lefnei atevo, he can't be noises kapov. So his father or his rabbi, who are capable, they would do it. So the Gemara says, yeah, mitzuyah. Now, if you're going to tell me the whole issue is you're worried a fight's going to break out, katan bar mitzuyah, what, a katan's going to get into a fight? And who's davening for the yomer? A gadol. The cotton just got mafter, so what are you worried about? The cotton's going to start fighting with the gadol, right? It's not a stabber that that's going to happen. So the Gemara says, must be, it's mishum kavod. So the cotton doesn't want to do it. But the Gemara says, el mishum kavod, cotton bar kavod. What, a cotton's bar kavod, a cotton is going to feel that it's enel lefich feidi for me to go ahead and do this. El, you have to say, ikka kavod, avid, the kavod rabbi. Kavod applies even to a cotton, not because the cotton itself is going to feel disrespected, but his father's going to be disrespected, or his rebbe, his mentor is going to be disrespected. No, hachanami ikkan etzuya yavin, etzuya rabbi. Maybe it's really related to machloikis. Not that he's going to start fighting, but the father sometimes, you know, gets into it a little bit because he doesn't like the way his son is being treated. Either way, it can come lidei machloikis, and that's what we were worried about. The Mishnah said, peicheach peiris al shema. Someone that's a peicheach, someone that's not wearing any shoes, say he's allowed to be peiris al shema. He could be mitar game, but he can't be koyre b'tayre. That's something he's not allowed to do. But imenei ulubar rab me'abayis. Ulubar rab asked Abaye a question. Katan peicheach ma'u sheyukir b'tayre. Could a katan that's a peicheach, could he read from the Torah or could he not read from the Torah? A cotton's allowed to be oil of Torah, which means he can read from the Torah. So the question is, what if a cotton that doesn't have any shoes? What's the difference? Meaning, why would you think a cotton is different? So Rashi explains. The reason there's a havamina that maybe a cotton's different is because the Gemara thinks that maybe the reason a gadol, that's a peicheach, can't read from the Sefer Torah, it's because it says in the Torah, v'lo yira b'cha ervas davar. And being that part of his body is exposed, could be it's an inyan of erva, and that's why he can't do it. Therefore, there's a tzad that maybe a cotton is not muzer on erva. So he's not muzer on v'lo yir b'cha ervas davar. And it's for that reason, maybe it would be okay. So that was the shayla. So Amaleza Abaye told Ulubar Rabbi, Tiboy l'cha orum. Meaning, if you have a tzad that there's no v'lo yir b'cha ervas davar by a cotton, then why don't you ask me if a cotton's allowed to read from the Sefer Torah orum? Forget about not wearing socks. He's not wearing any clothing. Orum, my time aloy, the teretz is, you're not asking me orum. Why? Mishum kavat zibur. Again, for the second time. Because you understand that it's not kavod tzibur for someone to get up and lay in if he's arum. Hachanami mishum kavod tzibur. Here too, the inyan of peicheach is nothing to do with v'loyir b'cha ervas davar. It's related to kavod tzibur. And if it's related to kavod tzibur, there's no difference if it's a gadol or it's a katan. It's not kavod tzibur for a person to read from a sefer Torah peicheach. It doesn't matter if that person is a gadol. It doesn't matter if that person is a katan. The Mishnah said, suma peiris al shema. And then the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda argued. Rabbi Yehuda said, Kol shalei ra ma'iris meyamav inay paris al shema. Someone that was born a suma, meaning if someone became a suma later in life, it's okay. But if somebody was born a suma, being that he never saw ma'iris, he never benefited from ma'iris, so he doesn't have a connection to the bracha ma'iris, therefore he can't be ma'itzi, a tzibur, with the bracha of Yotzer HaMoiris. Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. I'm going to Rabbi Yehuda. They told Rabbi Yehuda, I don't understand. Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me that because a suma never saw ma'iros, so he has no shaykhis to the bracha of ma'iros, and therefore he can't be ma'itzi atzibur with the bracha of ma'iros. He can't be paris al shema. So they said, harbi tzofu lidrash b'merkava. There were many that darshan b'maisa merkava. I mean, it's an elite group, but there were those that darshan b'maisa merkava v'lei ro'isim yamem, even though they never saw it. So you see, you could darshan something even if you never saw it. So Mar says, Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to tell you? Very simple. Hasam ba'avanta libatalya milsa v'hakam achav in v'yada. You can be darish b'maisa merkava Because Ma'aseh Merkava is about understanding the Ma'aseh. You don't have to see it, you have to understand it. So if you understand it, you kedashin. Hocha mishum hanohu. But the bracha ma'oros is a birchas nehenin. Interesting. It's related to hanoh. The holesle hanoh, at the end of the day, Rabbi Huda says, someone that never saw ma'oros never benefited from ma'oros. So if he never benefited from ma'oros, so therefore he would not be able to make the bracha. Rabbanon. What are the Rabbanon hold? The Rabbanon not agree that only someone that benefited from the Oiris should be able to make the bracha Ma'iris. Assume that someone that was born blind, he never had any Hanah from Ma'iris. Gemara says it's not true. Islay Hanah, he does have an Akra Rabbi Yossi. And it's really like Rabbi Yossi. Tanya, we learned to the Bible, so I'm Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, Kol Yom Ha'Yisim Itzar Al-Mikrozeh. I never understood this pasuk. The pasuk says, and it's a pasuk in the Toichacha, in Parshas Kisavai, V'ho'Yisa, Hashem says that you will be memashesh b'tzarayim kashe yemashesh o'iver ba'afeilo. You're going to be during broad daylight the way the iver, the way the suma is ba'afeilo. I mean, just like the suma ba'afeilo, it's very difficult for him to get around. So too, you're not going to be able to get around. And Rabbi Yossi says, my whole life this pasuk bothered me. Because the pasuk describes not just an iver, but an iver ba'afeilo. Someone who can't see in the dark. Does it matter to an iver if it's light outside, if it's dark outside? Either way, he can't see. So said Rabbi Yossi, until a story happened, it was a ma'isa shahaya kachay, and it all made sense to me. I was once walking outside, it was very dark. And I saw Suma, and he was walking in the dark, and he was holding a candle. I told him, my son, why do you need this avuka? Meaning, how's the torch helping you? You can't see anyhow. Amali told me, as long as I have the avuka, b'nei adam royin I see. People can see me. I can't see people anyways. But people now can see me. And they're going to save me from any trap, from anything that can get in the way, anything that can harm me. So the Summa told Rabbi Yossi that the Avuka benefits me. You know why? It doesn't help me see, but it helps other people see me. Rabbi Yossi said that's what the pasuk means. V'hoyisa memashesh b'tzarayim. That you're going to be like the iver in the afelo. You're going to be like an iver. You're not going to be able to see. But it's going to be b'afelo. No one else is going to see you. And no one else is going to realize that you're in need of help so that no one else is going to help you. Either way, that's what the Rabbanan tell Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan tell Rabbi Yehuda, you're telling me that a suma, someone that was born that way, never benefited from ma'iris and ishtamis. He benefits from ma'iris. Not that the ma'iris allow him to see, but the ma'iris allow other people to see him, as a result, help him. So it comes out he's very much a beneficiary for the Ma'iris. That's why the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Yehuda, and the Rabbanan say that even someone that never saw Ma'iris himself, but he could be Pyrus al Shema, he's considered someone that has Shaykhis to the Brach of Yoitzer HaMa'iris. So moving along, may inyan le inyan, says the Mishnah, a Kayan that has Mumin, he has blemishes. He says, Kapav, he's not a Duchen. Rabbi Yehuda says, Af even someone whose hands are just dying. Meaning he has dye and stains on his hands. And the reason is, for both of these things, because if a person has mumen or if a person's hands are colored, there's a concern that maybe the people are going to look at him, the oilam, and they're not supposed to. Rashi says, it's a Gemara Chagigo, that it's usher to be mistakel b'koyhanim b'shoshen noisen es kapeyim. The reason is because the shechina shayra al yadeyim. Because the shechina shayra on the hands of the koyhanim, you're not allowed to look at the koyhanim. So we don't want to have a koyhan who's going to duchen where there's a concern that maybe people in the audience are going to, for whatever reason, feel like they want to look at the koyhan. So therefore, any person that is someone like that, Lo Yisus Kapav, we tell him not to duchen. Sochti Gemara Tana. Mumin Sha'amru, when the Mishnah says that a coin that has Mumin, Lo Yisus Kapav, it means Befun of Yod Varag. It means he has the Mumin on his face, he has it on his hand, he has it on his feet. Amr Bishuban Levi said, Yoda Buhakonios. If a person has spots on his hands, Lo Yisus Kapav, he's not allowed to duchen. Taina Mihochit Sabrais, Yoda Buhakonios, Lo Yisus Kapav, he's not allowed to duchen. Akumais Akushois. If a person's hands are bent or they're to the side, Lo Yisus Kapav, he shouldn't duchen. It's all for the same reason. Amr Ravasi. Ravasi said, Chifani. Ubeishani. So Chayfani is someone that comes from Chayfa. Beishani is someone that comes from Beishan. Lo Yises Kapav. He too is not allowed to duchen. And we'll see in a moment that the reason is because the people from Chayfa and the people from Beishan, they used to have a hard time pronouncing Alephs and Ayins differently. So an Aleph and an Ayin to us sometimes sounds the same. But really, if you know proper diction and proper diktuk, an aleph and an ayin are not the same. It's me'inyan le'inyan very much, but it's the inyan. But it's not the same thing. So these people struggled to differentiate between the aleph and the ayin, and therefore they couldn't really properly duchen. could make the bracha and really say the psukim properly. So therefore, Rav Asi said that people from these two locales are not supposed to duchen. Now the Brisa is talking not about duchening, it's talking about davening for the yomid, but it's the same thing. You can't send someone to the breitel. Loi anche beishan, v'loi anche beischaifa, v'loi anche tivoinim, and also not people from tivoini. And the reason is, v'pnei shekoyrin la'alfin einin, u'la'einin alfin, like we just said, because they confuse their olives and their eins. I'm only Reb Chiya, Reb Shimon bar Rebbe. Reb Chiya told Reb Shimon bar Rebbe. So this is one of the exchanges that you find in the Gemara that are einoy oimer eladershuni, right? So sometimes you see an agada to Gemara and you have to make a beeline to the Marsha or to the Maral or to the Ben Yoyada or the Ein Yaakov, but regardless, this Gemara needs a little bit of help. So Reb Chiya tells Reb Shimon bar Rebbe, Ilmoli ata Levi, had you been a Levi, posel ata min aduchen. He wasn't a Levi. But he said, if you would have been a Levi, you should know you wouldn't be able to duchen. Why? Mishum da'avi koyle, because you don't have a good voice. And a person who doesn't have a good voice, even though it's not considered a mum if you're a kayin, because a voice doesn't really matter if you're a kayin, but for a Levi, it does matter. So he said, if you would have been a Levi, you should know you wouldn't be able to duchen. So the Gemara says, Asa amalei la'avus. Reb Shimon bar Rebbe heard this. He went, he told his father, Rebbe, amalei. So Rebbe told his son, go tell Reb Chiya, amalei. Really? You think that I would have a problem being a kohen? Zilei Malay asked him, Shatamagia, it's a vichikisi lashem. When you get to the pasuk in Yeshaya Perikhes that says vichikisi lashem, like nimtzes atam echarev v'magadev, how do you say that? And the rest of the story is the Reb Chiya had a hard time pronouncing a ches. Right? He couldn't say vichikisi. He would say Hanukkah, not Hanukkah. Right? He had a hard time saying the ch sound. So he told him, when he says vichikisi lashem, you know what he says? Vichikisi lashem. I'm going to, right? You can't even say it. So, Nintzis Mecharef HaMagadef. So, Rebbe told the son, Reb Shimon, tell Reb Chiya, I hear, I wouldn't be able to duchen, but you tell me how you learn Yeshaya Perikas. Again, Einoy Oimer Elo Dershuni. Amar Rav Huna said, Zavlagon, someone that tears a lot. He says, Kabi's not allowed to duchen. Same reason, because people are going to look in faith. The Gemara is that true. Vahu, Tahav, Shavusa, Rav Huna. There was a person who lived in the neighborhood of Rav Huna, Vavaparis Yade, and he used to duchen. And he was a Zavlagan. So the Gemara says, Ahu dash b'iroi havet. This was a person that everybody knew. Meaning he was one of the chevron in the city. I mean that everybody knew him. There wasn't a concern that anybody was going to look at him. Meaning everyone knew who he was. As a result, no one even noticed. Tanya nami hachi Zavlagan la yisas kapav. Someone that says, Zavlagan is not allowed to duchen. V'mhoi dash b'iroi. Exactly what we just said. But if he's someone that people are familiar with in the city, mutter, it's going to be mutter. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Suma ba'achas me'enav la yisas kapav. If someone is a Suma in one eye, he's not allowed to duchen. Faith to Gemara, Vahuda havishavusad Rabbi Yochanan. There was a person that lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Yochanan, and Avaparis Yade, he used to duchen. So the Gemara says the same thing. Ahu dash b'iroi have. Everyone knew who he was, and as a result, this halacha wasn't applicable. Tanya nami yachi, again, it's a braisa. Suma ba'achas me'ein of la'isas kapav. Someone that's a suma in one eye is not a duchen v'm hayudash be'iroi. If, however, he was someone that people in the city knew mutter, it's going to be mutter. Yehuda Amir, Rabbi Yehuda said, Misha yod of tzfuois la'isas kapav. Someone's hands were tzfuois, they're stained with dye, he's not a duchen. Tana. We don't do the braisa. Imroiv anshe yo'ir malachta mekach. If most of the people in the city are like that, mutter, it's going to be mutter. Meaning, why would this person have dye-stained hands, probably because of what he does for a living. So if they comes from a small town where this is something that a lot of the people do, so again, it's not really something that anyone is going to pay close attention to. He's dash be'iroi, so to speak. If that's the case, then we don't have to worry about it, and we are going to stop here. So two ha'aris related to today's daf, yesterday's daf, and the day before's daf, and the day before's daf, meaning two ha'aris related to the halachos of Kriyas HaTorah. And really, specifically, as promised, related to one line of Gemara in yesterday's daf, Daf Chof Gimel Amid Aleph. The Gemara said, quote, Tanu Rabbanon, Hakol Oilin Leminyan Shiva. Everyone is kosher to be called up for an aliyah in the Sefer Torah. Afilu Katan v'afilu Isha. Not just everyone, even a katan who you would have thought maybe you can't get an aliyah, or a woman who you would have thought maybe you can't get an aliyah. Aval amru chachamim, the chachamim said, isha le'tikr b'tayra, a woman should not read from the sefer Torah, and the reason is mipnei kavod tzibur. It's related to the idea of kavod tzibur. And the truth is, we saw the concept of kavod tzibur a few times in today's daf. The Gemara mentioned that you're allowed to be medaleg benavi. And even sometimes it could be medallic by the Sefer Torah. Meaning, you're reading them after, you want to skip from one parish of Navi to another parish of Navi, it's fine. As long as you're not going to make the tzibur wait. So once upon a time, there was a torgeman. There was someone who, as the Balkari would read from the Navi, his job was to translate the Navi. As long as you'll be able to get to where you want to get up to. While the Torgeman is still talking, you could skip around. But if the Torgeman's going to stop, and you're still being medallic, so that the Olam is waiting around, it's not going to be okay. And Rashi said the reason is, Bishum Sha ain't covered Tzibur, Lamid Sha Mishtika, because it's not covered for the Tzibur, to make the Tzibur have to wait around. We learned another Gemara in today's daf, where the Gemara said that a Poicheach, someone that's not wearing shoes, or an Arum for that matter, someone that's not wearing clothing at all, he's not allowed to read from a Sefer Torah. And the Gemara wasn't sure why. Maybe it's related to the Pasuk of La Yirbacha Ervas Davar, but the Gemara said that's not the reason. Taim Amai Mishum Kavet Tzibur. It's related to Kavet Tzibur, because it's disrespectful for the Tzibur, for you to put them in this kind of situation. Rabbi Bienenfeld showed me, a long time ago, an epic tshuva that's printed in the tshuvas of Rabbi Yehuda Miller. So who is Rabbi Yehuda Miller? Sounds contemporary. Rabbi Yehuda Miller was a 17th century European goyin. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Yehuda Miller was one of the great goyinim of his era. How great? There's three tshuvas in Shailos HaTshuvas Chacham Tzvi that were written to Rabbi Yehuda Miller. He's quoted in the Shailos HaTshuvas Pnei Yeshua. He's quoted in the Knesset Yecheskel. He's quoted in the Shev Yaakov. He's one of the great goyinim to live in the 17th century. Rabbi Yehuda Miller was a Talmud of the Shvus Yaakov, who was the chief rabbi of Prague. As a matter of fact, they bring in the Mavoi in the introduction to the Machon Yerushalayim's edition of Shailos HaTshuvas, Rabbi Yehuda Miller. You can find this in Sfarim stores, by the way. So there's a very, very long Mavoi. And one of the things they bring is that the Chidon, the Shem HaGdolim, when he talked about the Shvus Yaakov, who was one of the great Ga'onim, right? The Shvus Yaakov. Number one, he's the author of the Shvus Yaakov. He's also the Iyun Yaakov on the Ein Yaakov. He's written classic works, and he was one of the great Goyim of the early 1600s. So the Shvus Yaakov, when the Chidah talks about him, the Shem HaGdolim, he says he was Maimit Talmidim Harbe, and he names one Talmud by name. And the Talmud that he names by name is Rabbi Yehuda Miller. Rabbi Yehuda Miller is quoted in the Ber Heitev and Hilchas Shabbos. He was one of the great Goyim of Bahakol Tali B'mazel, Vafilo Sefer Torah Shebeheichel, and for whatever reason, we don't know so much about Rabbi Yehuda Miller. But either way, we have Tshuvas, is one volume of Tshuvas, Shalos Tshuvas Rabbi Yehuda Miller. And in those Tshuvas, this is in Siman Tzadik Gimel, he clears the following question. He says, there are many halachas that you find that are related to Kavod Tzibur. We just mentioned three, but really there are others as well. For example, one that's very, very negaya. The name of the parak that we're learning right now, the third parak of Masechtas Megillah, is called Hakoyre Oymed. What does it mean, Hakoyre Oymed? The Mishnah said, Hakoyre is HaMegillah Oymed V'Yoshev. If you want to read the Megillah Oymed, you can read it Oymed. If you want to read it Yoshev, you can read it Yoshev. The Rambam in Parak Beis in Hilchas Megillah says that even though the Mishnah says you can read from the Megillah Oymed or Yoshev, however, you should not read Yoshev. And he says the reason is because it's not covered for the Tzibur. It's not covered for the Tzibur to read a Yoshev. There's a Gemara Masechtas Gittin, Daf Samech Amid Aleph. The Gemara over there says that really the Katchila, you should not have to read Kriyas HaTorah from a Sefer Torah. So once upon a time, there were Chumashim. Now, a Chumash then is not what a Chumash is today. Today, a Chumash is a Chumash. But once upon a time, a Chumash was a scroll. It was literally written like a Sefer Torah. They would sew it with sinews on parchment, Ksav Ashuris, Bedyai, but it was individual volumes. So there was a Bereshis, and a Shmois, and a Vayikra. It wasn't a Kashra Sefer Torah. And the Gemara is discussing, is it okay to read from a quote-unquote Chumash, or is it not okay to read from a Chumash? And the Gemara comes out, no. And the Gemara says the reason is, because it's not covered for the Tzibur. So we have so many halachos that are related to covered Tzibur. So this was Rabbi Yehuda Miller's chakira. He wanted to know what would happen if the Tzibur is willing to be moichel al kvaidam. The Tzibur says, I understand, this is a halacha that's in place, and it's because of our dignity, it's about our covet. There's something called covet Tzibur. What if the Tzibur is willing to be moichel al kvaidam? What if they say that we're willing to be mevater? Could they be moichel or not? So just to bring out the point, a person has to have kavod for his father, but ha'av shemachal al kvoidei kvoidei machal. A person has to have kavod for his rebbe, but ha'rav shemachal al kvoidei kvoidei machal. A person has to have kavod for a melech, a b'soim tos melech a melech, melech shemachal al kvoidei ein kvoidei machal. What about a tzibur? What about when there's a din kavod at tzibur? Could the tzibur be moichal al kvoidam, or could the tzibur not be moichal al kvoidam? So the truth is, the Rabbi Yehuda Miller says that this is something that was already discussed by the Beis Yosef in one specific halacha. This Beis Yosef is an Eir Chaim. It's in Siman Nun Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch over there discusses what age does a person have to be in order for him to be able to daven for the yomitz. You would say bar mitzvah, right? It's the wrong answer. The Mechaber says, and this is Simen Nun Gimels of Katan Vav, Ein Memanin. You're not allowed to appoint someone to go down for the Amid. Ela Mishen is Maluskanoi. Only someone that has a full beard. And the reason is, Mipnei Kovet HaTzibur. It's related to Kovet HaTzibur. Avu Ba'akroi. Once in a while, then it's okay, Mishahevi Shtei Cyrus. As long as he brought two Cyrus, that in and of itself is going to be okay. So the Taz quotes the Beis Yosef, who said that really, there was a machloikis rishonim, Rambam and the Rosh. What would be if the tzibur says, you know what, we're mevater. I understand there's an Indian of kavod tzibur, but we're willing to be mevater on kavod tzibur. We want a child, or not a child, someone that's bar mitzvah, but he's not in Ismail Iskana yet. We want him to daven for the yomim. Would it be okay, or would it not be okay? And he says that l'chur, it seems to be a machloikis between the Rambam and the Rosh. The Rambam said to Beis Yosef is mashma, that if the tzibur wants to be meichel al kvodim, they'd be able to be meichel. The Rosh says not that way. The Rosh says that no, that even if the tzibur wants to be meichel, they won't be able to be meichel. So at first glance, says Rabbi Yehuda Miller from the Beis Yosef, it's mashma, that really it's a machloikas rishayinim, it's a machloikas between the Rambam and the Rosh. But he says that just because they argued over there doesn't necessarily mean that that machloikas would be negeya all the different places that you find the idea of kavod tzibur. Either way, he wrote a whole tshuva, but I just want to mention one piece that he says in that tshuva, and that is, he brings what he believes is a fester raya to this child. Very, very gishmak. We mentioned in today's daf that there was a unique Kriyas HaTorah that took place when there was a Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, and the Baal Koyrah was none other than the Kohen Gadol himself. And it says in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol would start reading Parshas Achrimos. That's where you have the Avodah on Yom Kippur. And he would go from Parshas Achrimos and he would mish up to Parshas Emor, which is where you have the Parsha of the Mayadim, where it talks about fasting on Yom Kippur. And then afterwards, the Mishnah says, there would be one more Kriya. He would read Ba'asar Shal Chaymash HaPikudim. He would read Parshas Pinchas. He would read the Musafin. But that, the Mishnah says, he was Kair Alpeh. That's something that he would do up by heart. Faith to Gemara, Amai. Why did he read that by heart? So again, the Kohen Gadol has three Kriyas that he's doing. He's reading Parshas Achrimos, that's the Avodah. Then he's reading Parshas Emor, that talks about the Yontif of Yom Kippur. And then he would read Parshas Pinchas, which talks about the Musafin. Faith to Gemara, why the first two is he reading in a veining? And then the Musafin, is he reading Baal Peh? Nigla, let him mish up the Nikri and read it inside, just like he's reading everything else inside. Amar Rav Huna B'Rav Yeshua, Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Huna B'Rav Yeshua said in the name of the great Rav Sheshes, he said, Lefisha ain goylin sefer Torah b'tzibur. The reason is because he can't mish up b'tzibur. To go from Achrimos to Emor, like we saw in today's daf, that's not a big deal. That's easy. That's quick, it's binyan echad, that's something you're allowed to do. But to mish up all the way to Parshas Pinchas, that's already far. You can't do that. Why not? Mipnei kavod tzibur. It's based on kavod tzibur. So Rabbi Yehuda Miller said like this, if you look in the Rishonim are all bothered with this Gemara. So again, what happened? What happened was the Kohen Gadol reads Achrimos inside, he reads Emor inside, and then he would read Pinchas Baal Peh. Fragin the Rishonim, and the Tos Yeshanim asks it on the page right here in Yuma Daf Ayin, but all the Rishonim ask the Kashya Ritva, how could the Kohen Gadol read from a parsha Baal Peh? We know the halacha. Dvarim shebiksav, iyato rashoi lo'imran Baal Peh. So why should he be able to do it? And the Rishonim struggle with this kasha. They struggle mightily with this kasha. And they say a whole bunch of shinuyim dechukim to try to answer this kasha. That's the kasha. I understand. How could the Kohen Gadol read a parsha in the Torah Baal Peh? Everyone knows. Dvarim shebiksav, iyato rashoi lo'imran Baal Peh. But the gist of the Teretz L'chura is, it's a Shas HaDchak. And because it's a Shas HaDchak, so we're forced to say a Teretz. A Bezok Rabbi Yehuda Miller, that if you're going to tell me, that just like Ha'av Shemachal al Kvayde Kvayde Machal, and Ha'rav Shemachal al Kvayde Kvayde Machal, Tzibur Shemachlu al Kvaydan, so Frank Rabbi Yehuda Miller, I understand what the problem is. Why are we getting ourselves involved in such a situation? It's the Yom HaKadosh, it's Yom Kippur. The Kohen Gadol should turn around and the Kohen Gadol should say, Chevra, it's going to take about a minute or two or three for us to now mish the Sefer Torah until we get to Parshas Pinchas. I can't do it because there's something called Kavod HaTzibur. Can I ask that you forgive and you be Meichel and you allow us to do this so we shouldn't have to violate a principle in the Torah of Dvarim Shebiksav Iyata Rashay Laimrim Baal Peh? Chances are he will get the votes that he needs in order for him to be able to spend the next 3 minutes mishing up. So Frank Rabbi Yehuda Miller, why didn't they do it? He says it's a raya brura, la niyas daiti, that it wasn't okay. that kavod atzibur is not something that the tzibur abalabatim to be meichel on. And even if they decide that they want to, it's okay, it's not going to be okay. So, for example, the implications: if the tzibur would decide that we want to mish up, no worries. No, it's not going to be fine. Someone barefoot should daven for the amid. Don't worry, it's kavod atzibur. No, it's not going to be okay. The tzibur says we want a woman to lane or to co up for an aliyah. It's only an issue of kavod atzibur. Says Rabbi Yehuda Miller, it's not so pashit. Because tzibur shemachlu al kvaidam could be ein kvaidam machl. You could see where the ramifications of this shayla could get very, very interesting. But either way, this is a tshuva. It's in the shaylas of tshuvas. Rabbi Yehuda Miller, schusa yagan aleinu sif soysav, David Weiss Bekevrin, the Mavuyit says that they just recently got access and discovered a lot of Kisvei Yad that he left over in one of the museums in Moscow. And it seems that Machon Yerushalayim is working on printing more tshuvas and a lot of Torah on Chumash. So maybe the time has come for his Torah to be revealed more to the world. But either way, it's just fascinating. A Gadol who was hacking and talking and learning with the Chacham Tzvi. If you look at one of the tshuvas in the Shailas of Tshuvas, Chacham Tzvi, so he receives one of his Shailas from Rabbi Yehuda Miller. So the Chacham Tzvi writes back to him. He says, I was so happy when I saw that you sent me a letter. Sasti bahem kemoitzei shalor rav. However, v'ani eini kedai, shemailus kvay teirasei, shaylech elai. You're asking me a shayla? Why do you have to ask me a shayla? You're from the great Talmidim of the Shvos Yaakov. Why are you sending me a shayla? Ach, lasso is ritzoynoi chafatzti. V'hinin imeshe b'ktsara kashetalim mitzudasei ayayim. Bezuz Hashem Yisbar. So you see the cover that the Chacham Tzvi gave him, all the other Gedolim gave him. Either way, that's the first ara. The second ara is related to a katan being oilel l'tayra and to a katan being a balkayra. And this is a tshuva in Shailus Tshuvas Igris Moshe from Agoyin Agadol. Moshe Feinstein, Zeichet Tzadik, V'Kadosh L'Vracha. It's an Eirech Chaim Chelek Beis. It's in Simen Ayin Beis. This is the question that was asked to Ramosha. This is classic. A bar mitzvah boy spent a year preparing his bar mitzvah parsha. He was going to lay for the Olam. And then as it came really, really close to the bar mitzvah, he realized that he prepared the wrong parsha. And he realized that the parsha that he prepared was the Shabbos before he was actually bar mitzvah, which meant that he was going to be a katan by his bar mitzvah. And as a result, l'chura, he's not really allowed to lay. And the question was asked to Rav Moshe, what should this bar mitzvah boy do? Is this bar mitzvah boy allowed to lay, or is he not allowed to lay? He's going to be a katan. It's the next Shabbos that's his bar mitzvah. He didn't prepare the next Shabbos, and it's too late. So that's not something he's going to be able to do. So this was a shayla that was asked to the Pesach Adar Moshe. What's this bar mitzvah boy supposed to do? He pasha prepared the rogue parsha. Could he lain or could he not lain? So the truth is, Moshe wrote a classic tshuva. There's so much lamdas and there's so much going on in this tshuva. But just to take a step back, and let's understand this halacha a little bit better. So the Mechaber says in Hilchis Shabbos, that's what this halach is. It's an Erech Chaim Simen, Reish Pei Beis, Sif Kotten Gimel. Hakol Oilin Leminyan Sheva. Everyone counts for an aliyah. Afilu Isha, Afilu Kotten. So a woman and a Kotten are included, are allowed to count for an aliyah. Now, Kotten, there's a caveat. Sheyedei Lemim Avarchim. The child has to be mature enough and old enough that he understands what exactly is going on. As it relates to a woman, says the Mechaber, Amru Chachamim, Isha Leitikr B'Tzibur, a woman shouldn't read for the Tzibur, they cover that Tzibur, because of this Indian that we just spoke about, because of cover that Tzibur. But the Mechaber says, clearly, that a Kotten is allowed to be Oilel L'Torah. So a Kotten is allowed to get an aliyah. Clear. Open, shut, halacha. There's no ambiguity. A Kotten's allowed to be Oilel L'Torah. As I state, cotton could be oil l'tayra. Now, the Magen Avraham says that even though the Mechaber says a cotton's allowed to be oil l'tayra, ha'idna loy nehigi likris cotton elalam after. Today, the minig is only to give a cotton after. But it sounds like me'ikr adin, the Mechaber says, a cotton could be oil l'tayra. It's a braisa in Mesechtes Megillah Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. It's a Mishnah Mesechtes Megillah Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. A cotton is allowed to be oil l'tayra. But the Magen Avraham says something else. Says the Magen Avraham, and he's quoting the Knesset HaGedolah. Quote, for a katan to be a balkaira in a yachal, that he can't do. Ad sheyavi shtei sairis, until he brings two sairis. So says the Magen Avraham, quoting the Knesset HaGedolah, that even though the Mechaber says a katan's allowed to be oil l'tayra, but this that he means that he could be oil l'tayra means he can get an aliyah. He can say, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMavayrach, Asher Bach Rabbanim Mikolam. By the way, on Simchas Torah, ketanim get aliyahs. Right, so he's talking specifically about being oil the Torah. But to be the Balkaira, says the Magen Avraham, it's a Mefurish HaKnesa Gdoila. To be a Balkaira, that's something that a Katan's not allowed to do. Freik the Prima Gadim and Eishel Avraham. He says, Sarich Iyon, I don't understand this Chiddush that the Magen Avraham quotes. He says, it makes no sense to me. Why? What's the Makar that a Katan's allowed to be oil the Torah? It's a Mishnah. It's a Braisa. It's the third Parak of Masechtas Megillah. The Mishnah's discussing a Katan being oil the Torah the way they did it in the times of the Mishnah. When a person was oil attire in the times of the Mishnah, he didn't get up and make a baruchu and then listen to the Balkaira. He was the Balkaira. You got an aliyah. You better be prepared because you were going to have to learn from the Torah. So, freight the Prima Gadim, how could the Magen Avraham say that a cotton could get an aliyah, but cotton's not let alone? The Makar that a cotton get an aliyah is the Chamishna and a Braisa. It means in the times of the Mishnah, the times of the Braisa, this was true. In the times of the Mishnah, times of the Braisa, any person that got an aliyah was reading from the Sefer Torah. So the same Mishnah that says a cotton can be aliyah to Torah really is saying that a cotton's allowed to read from the Sefer Torah. So l'chur, it's enough in a Mishnah, it's enough in a Braisa. He said, Sarachin, as I pray to Prima Gadim, he says, I have no Havana whatsoever in this pshat. How could you tell me that a cotton can't read from the Sefer Torah? He could be aliyah, but not read from the Sefer Torah. What's the Makar? It could be aliyah of the Mishnah. The Mishnah means to read, because that's the way they used to do it back then. So of course that's the way it is. So Ramosha, he begins his tshuva, introducing the Mechaber, and the Magen Avraham, and the Prima Gadim. He sets it up. And then he says that the emes is, I don't understand the Prima Gadim. I think the Magen Avraham is Poshut Adlam Oid. And I think the Magen Avraham is right, when the Magen Avraham said that even though it's true, it says in the Mishnah that a cotton's allowed to be oil of Torah, but really he's not allowed to be a Balkaira. And even though once upon a time, whoever was oil of Torah was the Balkaira, that was then, today it's going to be different. So what could possibly be the pshat? How could be mechalik? The cotton was allowed to be a balkaira 2,000 years ago. Why should a cotton not be able to be a balkaira today? Memanavshach. Could he be a balkaira or could he not be a balkaira? So Rav Moshe sets up beautiful on this. He says like this. He says, what's the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah? He says, the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah is take out a Sefer Torah and to call up seven oilim. Let's talk about Shabbos. Seven people are going to be oil of the Torah, keneged the shiva roya pnei amelech. And each person's going to get up. And how was it done once upon a time? And read from the Sefer Torah. That's what you're supposed to do. You have seven people get up, read from the Sefer Torah. Everybody else sits and they listen. And by doing that, everyone heard Torah. It's a tremendous Kavarat Torah. Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Goydel Elikenu. It's a beautiful scene. But here's the point. The mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah was for seven people to be Oilel HaTorah. That's what the mitzvah was. V'haraya, that's the way it was done. Seven people would get up and read from the Sefer Torah. If the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah was to have one person read from the Sefer Torah, then that's the way it would have been. But the perfect Kriyas HaTorah, the Kriyas HaTorah of the Mishnah was seven people reading from the Sefer Torah. Said Rav Moshe, that's not a coincidence. That's the way it's supposed to be. Because that's the perfect tzura, the perfect visual of Kriyas HaTorah is to have seven people, b'roiv am, read from the Sefer Torah. Moshe adds along this. You know, we spoke the other day, we said over Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank's Chakira, and that is when the Balkaira gets up and he lanes from the Sefer Torah, and everybody else listens. Is the pshat that when you hear the Balkaira laning through Shemeya Ka'oinah, it's as if you're laning? Or is the pshat that no, the Balkaira is laning, you're just listening. You're not being yoitza with Shemeya Ka'oinah, you're Shemeya Kishemeya. It's a din shmiya ba'alma, and that's the way you're going to be yoitza. And we mentioned the lumdis, the nafkamina, if a person walks into shul, it's Parshas Kiseitze, he didn't hear Parshas Zachar. Could he be yoitza Parshas Zachar if the Balkaira doesn't have a mind to be Moitzim Shemeya Ka'oinah? If it anyways works with Shemeya Ka'oinah, maybe yeah. But if the way Kriyas HaTorah works has nothing to do with Shemeya Ka'oinah, then Lechur it said Reb Tzvi Pesach, it wouldn't work. So Rav Moshe doesn't quote the Har Tzvi, but Rav Moshe brings this Shaila. Kriyas HaTorah, does it work with Shemeya Ka'oinah or does it not work with Shemeya Ka'oinah? Says Rav Moshe, it's Poshut, Kebeyasa Bekutcha, that it works not with Shemeya Ka'oinah. He says, you know, I know that? He says, Gevaldik. Because if it would be Shemeya Ka'oinah, so what would that mean? That would mean that when the Balkaira lanes, it's as if everybody's laning. So that means the Kriyas HaTorah is going to be that every single person in Shul just lanes seven aliyahs. He said that wasn't the takon of Kriyas HaTorah. The takon of Kriyas HaTorah was to have seven people lane. If the objective of Kriyas HaTorah was Shemeya Ka'oinah, that every person should read from the Sefer Torah, so why did they call up seven people? What's that all about? Why are seven people reading from the Sefer Torah? If really, every person's supposed to lane. And when the seven people lane, everyone is laning vicariously through them. via the medium of Shemei Kaina. So it comes out, everyone's laning the whole laning. So what do you need seven people to do? You need seven people to be Moitzi? Bishloima, if there's supposed to be seven kruim, everyone else is shoymim. So that's why Chazal set it up, have seven people do it. But if everyone is supposed to be from the kruim, so then why do you have seven people? One person be Moitzi everybody. So Moshe says, it's poshut to me that the tsura and the takon, it's very tief, but it's gewaldig, of Kriyas HaTorah wasn't to have everybody lane and do it vicariously through the Balei Kaira, but rather it's to have seven people lane and everybody else listen. But the minute I'm yoitza with Shemeir Ka'ina with what the Balei Kaira is doing, so it's not in Lumda seven people laning, it's really everybody laning. We're all doing it through Shemeir Ka'ina. That's not the way it was supposed to be. Either way, says Rav Moshe, the takana of Kriyas HaTorah likatchila was seven people read from the Sefer Torah. What happened? It changed. Why did it change? So the Balei Tosfos speak out in our sugyas, here in the third parak of Masechtas Megillah. What happened was, not everybody just knew how to get up and read from a Sefer Torah. And as a result, you needed someone to prepare. And not just that, Halacha says you have to prepare three times, four times, right? There's a whole Shulchan Aruch of what about Balei Kaira has to prepare. It's Halacha. So now all of a sudden you need to prepare. Not everyone's able to do it. So instead of having seven people do it, you have one person do it. Problem is, says Rav Moshe, it wasn't the Takana. The takana was for seven people to do it. So what, we just mavatal the takana? We say, listen, sorry guys, we just can't do it anymore. Once upon a time, we knew how. Now it's just, no one has the time to prepare laning. As a result, one person will do it. And what do you mean? There's a takana. If there's a takana, you have to do it. The takana was Shiva Kruim. So what happened to the seven Kruim? So instead, we'll just call up seven people for Aliyas and we'll make a Misha Beirach. What does that mean? That's not the din. The din is seven people have to lane. So what happened to the Shiva Kruim? The Ikra takana was Shiva Kruim. Now we... What do you mean? You need Shiva Kruim. So Ramesh says, posh it. Now it works? It works midin shlichus. It's getting more lumdish. It works midin shlichus. Ramesh says, it has to. It must work midin shlichus. So what happens? Someone gets up for an aliyah. Now, you've never done this in your life, but Ramesh said subconsciously, this is really what's going on behind the scenes. You get up for your aliyah, you turn to the Balei Kaira, and you tell him, will you be my shlich? This is really my obligation. I just got a revi, and as a result, I have to lane from the Sefer Torah. I'm not prepared. I can't do it. You prepared. Will you please be my shliach? And through Shluchei Shaladim Kamaisai, or through some form of Shemei Ka'ina, between you, the Oila, and the Balei Kaira, it's going to be as if you're the one that actually lane. But it has to be that way. Because otherwise, where do you have Shiva Kruim? You have seven people that said Baruch Hu, but you don't have seven people that actually read from the Sefer Torah. So Rav Moshe says that the way Kriyas HaTorah works today is that really the Balei Kaira is acting as a shliach. Who's he acting as a shliach for? He's acting for a shliach of the seven people that are being oil the Torah. So he's a shliach for the Kayan, then he's a shliach for the Levi, and then Shlishi's a shliach for the Rav, and then Revi and Chamishi, and Shishi is a shliach for the Rebbe, and then Shvi is a shliach for the Shvi, and that's how it works. And each Ali is wearing a different hat, literally, and that's what he's doing. And he's actually acting as a shliach right now for all these people that are laning. So here's the punchline. So Rav Moshe said that once upon a time, when the person himself that got the aliyah was the one that laned, there was no problem with a katan laning. A kan's allowed to be oil taira. A kan's allowed to lane from a sefer taira. It sounds like a chiddush. A behakol oilin afilu katan as I state afilu yisha. There's a problem with kavod tzibur, but really a kan's allowed to lane. It's a mishnah. It's a brisa. No one argues the point. It's brought down a shulchan aruch. It's not even a shaila. He says, but today the Balei Kaira is not the one that's getting all the aliyahs. And today the Balei Kaira is really acting as a shliach for the person that was oil of the Torah. And because he's acting as a shliach, he has to be a kosher shliach. So said Rav Moshe, a cotton's not about shlichus. And because he's not about shlichus, therefore today a cotton can't be a Balei Kaira. If a cotton is going to get an aliyah, and he's going to lane his aliyah beseder, that's fine. But you can only get one aliyah. So that's going to help you for one aliyah. But to go ahead and build the Balei Kaira for Shabbos, that's not something you can do. Because it's true for your own aliyah, you can do it. But for someone else's aliyah, I have to be his shliach. Why do I have to be his shliach? Because his job is really to lane. Because it's a din zayin kruim. He's being mamana the Balei Kaira as his shliach. So the Balei Kaira now has to be a bar shlichus. And if the Balei Kaira is nishkan bar shlichus, a kenner zayin a Balei Kaira. A Balei Kaira needs to be a bar shlichus. What? Yeah, that's what Moshe says. Because that's the way it works. Because it's a din zayin kruim. And unless he's right to be a shliach for the person that's being oil taira, there's no way to make it work. So says Moshe, that's pshat. You're right. Medina the Mishnah, Medina the Braisa was pashat al-Katan, was allowed to be a Balkaira. But today we don't have that anymore. The Magad Avram wasn't talking about in the times of the Mishnah. He knew what the Prima Gadim's Kasha. He didn't know that when it says in the Mishnah, Konzalab Yoyal Tire means it can lame. But that's because the Oyal Tire is, he got one of the seven Aliyahs. You're no problem. You want to give a cut in Aliyah, you could do it. You want him to lane it, he could do it. That's fine. But for me to be a Balkaira, when I'm a cotton for you, I need to be your shliach. A cotton's not about shliach. And because a cotton's not about shlichos, it's for that reason it's not okay. And that's what the Magen Avraham was referring to. He's referring to a cotton b'zman hazeh, where a cotton's not about shlichos. So what was the bottom line? So Ramosha wrote back a tshuva. And Ramosha said, so therefore I hold me ikar adin, even b'shas atchak ein lahakel. It's interesting. Ramosha with his whole koyach that teirah, throughout Igus Moshe. But Ramosha was so sure about this halacha, and it's really coming from a Knesset HaGdayla that's brought down by the Magen Avraham. He says, I think it's a problem. Why? I think ki taima muchrach, because I think the Magen Avraham is 100% right based on the lamdas I just said. V'tama prima gadim v'oid achreinim, and the prima gadim who argued with the Magen Avraham, who blibed sarachin on the Magen Avraham, who essentially was saying, what do you mean, if a kan can be oil toira, that a kan should be able to lane, is tamua. He flipped the whole thing on the Prima Gadim. I said, to me, the Prima Gadim, Avul Mikal Malkim, this is what he said. Ladina, as it relates to the bottom line, Im Hutzar Gadola Bar Mitzvah Mishpachtai, if it's going to cause a tremendous amount of pain for this Bar Mitzvah boy and for his family, V'roitzel Lahakul Ka Prima Gadim Udeime, and he wants to be maker like the Prima Gadim, Ein Limchais B'yadei, don't stop him. Because at the end of the day, he has a Prima Gadim to be Saimachan. And even though it's Magen Avraham Shtei Nishtazai, and the Knesset HaGdolah Shtei Nishtazai, and it's Pasha to me, I understand the Magen Avraham, and the Prima Gadim is Tamua V'tzarechian. But at the end of the day, what, you're going to be Moicha, and you're going to start yelling and screaming because someone's following only the Prima Gadim? I mean, the Prima Gadim was Rabin Shel Kol B'nei Agayla. So at the end of the day, he says, I don't hear it, and I don't think it's Iska Halten, and the Ikarat Din, even B'Shas Atchak, you shouldn't be Meikol. But if there's going to be a Tzar Gadol for the Bar Mitzvah boy or for his family, don't stop him. Let him do it, because at the end of the day, he has the Prima Gadim to be Seimachan. This is like so many of the classic tshuvas from Rav Moshe. There's so much here, both from Halacha and from Lamdis, and of course from Musar. But either way, that's the tshuva from Rav Moshe as it relates to a katan laning bizman hazeh.